Hey, welcome everybody to the Dad Survival Guide podcast. I'm Joe Sanfilippo.
I am Raymond Pratt.
And if you guys are anything like we are, you're doing social distancing.
Oh, social distancing. We are in it. We are deep in it. Deep in the cut.
We are deep in it. This is some shit we're going to talk to our grandkids about when they say they don't want to get vaccinated for this shit. And because, you know, some of us are going to have hippie-ass grandkids. I'm like, you know, I just don't feel like to get... Come here! Smack! Smack, smack, smack! I want to talk to you about this thing! But that's someday in the future. For now, we're social distancing.
Social, yeah. Such we're a new term. It. What a term, huh?
Right? Well, we're going to try and give you some ideas for social distancing that have worked for us. And then I think we're going to kind of talk about like natural, I think, things that are okay to feel as a dad because we're wired a little bit different than our spouses.
We are in absolute uncharted waters too. So like everything we're doing, we're learning on the fly. We're just acclimating. Everything is just so new and there's so much information and it's washing over everything. And I feel like every day I learn about 10 to 15 things that I didn't know the day before.
Oh, it's bananas, man. And your local government is saying different things in the federal government, which is, I want everybody to get on the same damn page, but they're not gonna.
Mm-mm.
So
not in our lifetime.
Nope. So it's you know, be careful who you listen to kind of stuff, but there are, we're not going to spend a bunch of time on things that are, you've got ideas of how to do social distancing and how to get, you know, how to keep yourselves clean and all that. Cause you don't need us for that. But we will give you ideas for stuff to do with your kids and maybe some ideas how to cope with the natural desire to most dads have, at least this one does, to be left the fuck alone on occasion.
Or to dig 3 graves in the backyard and fill them.
Dude, I need some, I make up fake work. Anyway, so.
Because I know we're on different school schedules too. So my kids are knee deep in spring break. So this is going to sound terrible. This is going to be terrible, but this couldn't have happened at a better time because it happened week one of spring break when they were put on, when school was just basically suspended in the state. And so they're not picking it up again until the 16th of April, which only extends their spring break 2 weeks. So where were you when all of this went down in California?
We were still in the middle of their, what you call it, their second semester. Okay. So we had not gotten to spring break. I think spring break for them started or would be starting next week, I think.
Okay.
And then it's a 2-week thing. Or no, does it start on April? I don't remember. I think it starts next week. So it would. So the last 2 weeks have been what would have been normal school. And by us, I don't know about anybody else's kids, but my 12-year-old, I mean, she's just burning through these assignments and she's just, I don't want to say she's half-assing it. Maybe that's unfair.
Maybe call it phoning it in.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that's accurate, you know, because she's just kind of like, wow, I mean, and then I love her, but she's starting her bullshit float. Like we're out on a walk today. We're on a hike and she goes, and we're doing a lot of hiking, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Jesus.
So much hiking.
Nothing else to do. Nothing. Right? You can't even go to parks without being paranoid.
So she goes, she just kind of floats this, which was slick. She's like, you know, so many people are getting terrible grades with this whole homeschool thing.
Dropping the pearls, like little bit. And then so when it happens, she's got to get out of jail free card.
Right. She's going to try and slow walk her mom and I. We did not bite. That dog won't hunt.
No.
I don't care what everybody else is getting. You better have your straight A's. Otherwise, the beatings will continue.
So you have all 3 of them home. You have Sophie, Emily, and Violet. Because Sophie came home from school, too.
Yes. So we imported Sophia back from Vegas. My old slipped out in Vegas. We said, I said, hey, I wonder if maybe you should not be out in Vegas. And so, although in retrospect, you got to figure the medical centers in Vegas are designed for a town that's full of tourists doing idiot tourist things. Yeah. And they're all gone. So I don't know. I don't know what the if the numbers are better here or there, but we just wanted them closer to us.
I mean, you also have to figure with the way the Vegas is, they are pretty much pros at treating diseases and, you know, transmittable diseases. So maybe they were in a better place.
Giving you penicillin shot. Yes. They're pretty solid at that. Well, so we've got it. It's interesting you brought up Sophia because in our house, She, my oldest daughter's back just for the last week or so, and she's basically turned into like some combination of Nanny McPhee and Mary Poppins, and she's come up with all kinds of cool shit to keep her sisters relatively entertained. Yeah. And this is the stuff that I think is of value to talk about. I mean, you guys are dealing with a totally different universe because you've got three boys. So I would imagine you guys are blowing things up more than my girls are.
Well, and I'm still working because I mean, I'm not essential, but the people still need to eat. So I'm still working, 8 to 10 hours a day while my ex-wife has been laid off. So long story short, I have moved back into the house to assist while she is off work, helping with the kids, but she is here full time now. And she hasn't done this in a while since they were little kids. And so now she is in the thick of trying to maintain sanity, not commit a homicide with one of the three of them, because all they do is fight and want to break stuff, like you said. But now she's like full back into like trying to create ways for them to get off their tablets, to get out of bed, to move, because it's really cold here. It's been snowing, so there's no outside. There's no museums. There's no parks. There's no movies. There's, a couple friends come over because they're neighbors, but there are no sleepovers. There are none of the natural things that you do on a spring break or that your kids do on a regular basis. So it is like starting over. It's like parenting 101 again. Like, we're downloading exercise things off YouTube. They're like drawing. We made homemade Play-Doh the other day. All kinds of crazy stuff that we haven't had to exercise that muscle in so long. And she's in the thick of it right now because she's here all day with them all by herself.
Oh, hell yeah. And so some of these are good ideas, things to check out. So if you have boys, you got a different universe than if you have girls. Although that's maybe a little unfair because, I mean, crafts are crafts. Kids like crafts.
Yeah, they love crafts.
So we've been doing, everybody's been doing that chalk art shit. That's fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The tape off the stained glass chalk art thing. That was pretty awesome. But the kids get weirdly excited about this stuff. Like for us, it's like, yeah, the kids are like, it's the best thing ever.
Well, I found like getting them interested in it is extremely difficult. But once you get it in front of them and you engage them in it, then their brains click and they go, oh, this isn't as stupid or as lame as they were making it out to be. Because, you bring up like, hey, you guys want to play Play-Doh or make homemade Play-Doh? And they're like, oh, Dad, that's stupid. I don't want to play Play-Doh. I want to play Minecraft. I want to play, Call of Duty or whatever video games these kids are playing now. And then when you drag them away from it, kicking and screaming, and then 5 minutes into it, they're totally into it. They're totally into, like, drawing or Play-Doh. Or you know what I did get for Brady for his birthday this year? I got him a year-long subscription to this thing called Kiwi Company. And what they do every month, they send you, and that's not a plug or anything for them, but it's an amazing craft set. You get one every month and it's for 12 months, and every month he looks forward to it, and it's engaging, it's learning, it's exercising his brains, all that good stuff with it too. So there's that. He gets that every month and it's really engaging. He loves it too.
Well, I think like you said, looking forward to things. I think that's for us anyway. I don't know how anybody else is coping with it, but I mean, first and foremost, you can't explain to the younger ones what this all is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? You can't be like, hey, the world's basically stopped because this shit'll kill you. So, I mean, that's too. So you just kind of, the kids know that there's a coronavirus and they know that it's bad. But yeah. I mean, I don't feel like anybody under 10, 11 years old needs to know anything more than that. Yeah,
Cameron is 7 and he asks extremely like broad questions about it. Like, can I get it from this? Can I get it from doing this? And I'm pretty open and honest with him. I'm not giving him like, case rate. I'm not giving them death counts in Italy or any of the stuff that's going on around the world or the skyrocketing number here in this country. But I give them the basic questions or answers. Like, I tell them to be diligent about washing your hands, make sure you do this, make sure you do that. All the basic things that you should be doing on a regular basis, but now just telling him to be more diligent about it. So it lowers the worry and the concern for him, but it also kind of engages him and makes him feel like he's involved in the conversation instead of just saying like, don't worry about it, you're a kid, because that's kind of demeaning. It makes them feel, uninvolved.
That's interesting. So you give them you kind of decide where you think that line ought to be,
exactly.
Right? So
yeah,
you give them enough information so that they're not going to do anything stupid that's going to get them into a bad position.
Exactly.
But at the same time, you're not going to try and scare the shit out of them, because then what was the point of that?
Yeah. So he has enough information that he's still, asking for sleepovers and trying to finagle him to go to the park or go to whatever thing that, could be harmful for him. So we're just keeping him away from that.
And I think that's kind of the deal, right? Because there's a moment that we've all had, if you haven't had it yet, you will, where the kids that are a little bit older, they're going to have the moment you have to kind of, they force it. They force the moment where you have to give them more information than you wanted to. You know what I mean? When they're it's not fair, Dad. I want to have a sleepover. Why can't I have my friends over? Right? That's that, you know what I mean? And there's you have to kind of, that forces you to be in like that position. To go, you know what? Okay, here's what you don't know. Mm-hmm. Here's more information. And the tough thing I'll say about the older kids, nine is getting older now, which is crazy.
Noah's nine and he's like persistent. And I know as dads, we all have, if we have multiple kids or one kid, you all have that one kid who will never take the first no for the answer. So he'll backdoor again and be like, hey, Dad, what about? I'm like, dude, we just talked about this. Like, it's not a good time right now. I realize it's your spring break. It's not forever. This will end. This will pass. And then we'll, you know, kind of resume life. We'll go back on to our normally regular scheduled programming. But as of right now, and then 5 minutes later, he's like, well, can so-and-so come over and sleep over? I'm like, dude, what happened? What did we miss here? I just told you no. So.
And that's the thing. So that's when you kind of have to give them a little more information, I think.
Yeah.
And again, you got to gauge it. You got to decide, like, how much can I give you without freaking you the fuck out? And then, you know, then the thing that stinks about the older kids is things are out of your hands. I mean, like, once you, like, with my 12-year-old, once it's like, and she's almost 13, so in all fairness to her, she's not, you know, exactly a, you know, just out, fresh out the box 12. But, you know, you tell them, like, hey, this is what this is, and a little bit, and so, like, let's leave it alone. Then they're going to go and Google it on their own. They're going to go find all the information, and then we had this conversation with Lily a couple of days ago. She came running down the stairs. She goes, did you guys know? Like, yeah, I fucking knew. But the look on her face, because she's decided that we're all idiots except her, which I think is part of being 12. You know, she's like, look on her face of like the horror that we could be stupid enough to not know it. Does that make any sense?
And I think it's important that you be honest about the situation and present it calm and give them the answers that they're looking for without, like you said, going into the detail and letting them know it's going to go back to normal. And I guess encourage questions like, you know, don't ask them to, like, are you going to bleed out of your eyes at any of that outbreak stuff. But because there's, you know, have you realized that on Netflix and on Prime that all of these pandemic movies are like super popular and everyone's watching them now and they're all freaking out and like kids are watching them and like Brady watched one and he's like, Dad, is this going to happen? I'm like, no, you're not going to bleed out of your eyes, dude. It's not like that.
I don't watch that shit, Ray. I don't watch anything that
too close to home.
Fuck that noise. If it involves a demon that can come to me in the night and not going to watch it. And if it involves anything that has zombie, fuck it. I'm not watching it. Like, I just don't have anything to do with that shit.
No patient zero for you, huh?
Nope. Not touching it. Not interested.
Have you looked into anything online? Like, because I know that Sophie's in her 20s and Lily's a little old for it, but like the online things like ABC Mouse or any of those.
That's what I was going to say. My 4-year-old is ABC Mousing. Mm-hmm. And you got to be careful how you talk about this stuff to them, because if you got to set it up like it's a game. ABC Mouse is kind of like a weird deal, right? Because it's like sometimes it feels like a game, sometimes it doesn't. And so you got to kind of like, hey, you get to do ABC Mouse, you get to. And she's on to us. You know, she's like, fuck you. I get to do ABC Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? She wants to go on YouTube Kids and just kick it and, you know, watch 10,000 idiot videos with Ryan and his whatever. But and instead, you know, we make her do ABC Mouse, which she always gets a little pissy at first. But this whole thing has become an exercise in salesmanship for her mom and I.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I mean, shit. Like my wife owns a dance studio and we've moved all of our classes online, and it's the hardest thing we've ever done. I mean, moving 100-some-odd classes to an online format through Zoom, which has been amazing, by the way. Zoom.
What an undertaking.
Holy shit. Zoom is incredible.
Isn't it?
And so we moved all that to set up all the teachers and get them all going and all that. But it's funny because like with our 4-year-old, getting her to just participate, you know what I mean? Because she'd cry, I don't want to do it. And then once the class starts and her teacher's like, hi, Violet. And she's like, oh, shit. Yeah, I'm great. Everything's great, Dad.
Once again, it's getting them to the water and making them drink. And then once they start drinking, they're like, oh yeah, you're not a total asshole for making me do this. This is actually really fun.
And there's so many things right now. I mean, the world has stepped up. And it's incredible. Like I said, we're doing all of our classes online, which is great. And I'm sure that there's tons of other places doing the same thing. And like Beachbody is another great one. And I know, Ray, your ex-wife has a lot to do with Beachbody. Yeah. And I mean, oh, dude, if you want to, dads, if you weren't sure if your wife was probably in better shape than you, I mean, odds are, do some Beachbody with her. She might just, you know, make you feel like a little bit of a clown. But I mean, dude,
it is a big glass of just shame. You're just eating shame because the endurance part of it, I can't even keep up. Like, we work out together and she'll pop on some 30-minute thing and about like 10 minutes into it, cardio, I'm just gassed. I'm like, can I do some push-ups? Can I lift something heavy to show that I'm a man? Because this jumping and lunging is destroying me. So you're dripping with sweat. But I don't think any time in my recent memory has home gymming been more of a thing. Like, there are people posting, there's all kinds of like causes, like push-ups and all this stuff. Like, we're all one team. Let's do this from home. It's quite incredible to see what social media has done in a positive manner. Thankfully.
And there's so many opportunities to do them together as a family. Like, there's, if you go to Beachbody, they've got all kinds of options to work, to do a class together as a family. And I can't imagine they're the only one, but they're the only one that springs to mind for me, because that's what we're doing. But those are the kinds of things you can do. You do the chalk art, do the classes together, we've been doing something in our house that is freaking the kids love. And we just do a dance party every night. Now,
the videos of those dance parties, we're like seriously about to come down there and join in on the dance parties, because I was super jealous.
Dude, it's, I have an event company. We do, you know, parties and corporate events and stuff. So we've got a whole dance lighting set up. And so for us, we can do it on a whole nother level. But just go get one of those stupid freaking $10 disco balls that Amazon will deliver and throw a dance party every night. We do three songs. That's it. The four-year-old begs for a fourth song every night. I tell her no. And then I give her a fourth song anyway because I'm a pussy. But yeah, we do.
It's last call. You're doing like the curtain call.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So, and the kids go freaking bananas. I do a different theme every night. We do like Latin. We'll do rock. We'll do a pop from a few years ago.
Little house, little deep house, little Yuma tent maybe.
We did a little deep house. And my oldest is a little bit of a speaker head too. So we were kind of like, we were enjoying the deep house night. But that, anyway, I can't recommend that enough. And it becomes like the thing that the kids look forward to all day.
Well, you know what? It's funny because I was at work today, and God save work. You know, I don't mean to say that, but it's literally saving me mentally. But, you know, you get creative, and Jenny found like these 9-minute exercise for kids on YouTube, and they're all themed. Like, they have a Minecraft theme, they have a Frozen theme. So,
oh, that's awesome.
If they're like looking at it, and it's just, and they even had like all kinds of themes. So Spider-Man, whatever your kid's into, you can just pop it on there, and it's 9 minutes. It's not 30 minutes. And they did I haven't seen my three kids do any type of exercise in years, unless they're mocking me for doing it, but they did two of them today. So they exercised pretty vigorously for about 20 minutes today. I was really proud, and I was like, I was almost floored when they did it. So there's so many avenues, so many things you can do online with book. You know, it's kind of endless. You just have to kind of dig a little bit. I know it can seem daunting, but if you just dig a little bit, it all pops up, and it just leads you down this rabbit hole of just things to do.
So much stuff. If we're going to be stuck at home with our families, this is probably the age to be stuck at home with your families. This is not bad, honest to God. Let me bring up something you said that I think is huge, because you're still in a position to go to work every day, which it has its ups and downs, right? You're working.
Oh, yeah.
You're interacting with the public, which is nervous-making.
Nervous-making.
But you get to get out of the house for 8 hours a day.
I do.
And the rest of us, we do not.
Nope.
So
when I get back here, I tread extremely lightly. I don't, you know, I just.
Well, I'll bet you do.
Yeah. I my ex-wife, she's a great woman, but she's fierce. She's intense.
I wouldn't want to fight her because I'd lose. I learned my lesson once.
Yeah. So I come in and I'm like, eager to help, do whatever I can to help. Like, hey, I'll make dinner, I'll do dishes or whatever it is, because I know how hard it is, especially, and the older they get, more the resistance happens. Trying to get them to eat something healthy is like a massive undertaking, and you have to do that for 8 to 10 hours a day. It is exhausting mentally and physically.
So much. Now I'm stuck here at home, and I will tell you that
day drinking saved your life.
Well, day drinking is dangerous.
Day drinking is so dangerous.
So fucking dangerous. You're sitting there, you're like, I got all my half-assed work done.
Daddy, what happened? It's 12. I don't know.
Yeah, right?
Bottle of wine.
2 o'clock in the afternoon. I've been drinking way more than I normally do. And it's very, very, because I mean, we live in California. You're so much of your rationale for not drinking is like, I got to drive. I got places I got to be. You're like, well, you fucking don't.
A couple weeks ago, I went to Costco before the chaos. It was kind of the beginning of the chaos. And, you know, I stocked up. I got some wine, got some supplies. And I was like, this is good. This will be like a good, you know, 10-day to 2-week supply of alcohol and wine. And lo and behold, about 7 days later, it was like gone. Day drinking.
Aaron and I had a bottle of wine last night. We shared a bottle of wine, which normally for us, because we're pretty much lightweights, normally for us, bottle of wine, we're like, woo, good night. That was not the case. We were like, bottle of wine, now what?
Where's this? You have a second bottle?
Right? No, we went to dessert stuff. I'm a big fan of amaretto. We had amaretto.
Amaretto.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well,
When you sent that video of the first dance party, and then Jenny sent you the video of our kind of dance party, we had all been drinking a little bit. It was apparent and obvious.
What? What are you talking about?
Oh man,
that bottle of tequila evaporated while you held
that bottle didn't stand a chance.
Here's what I want to talk about before we wrap up. I would talk briefly about just the psychology of I think a lot of us as dads, as guys, I need to be left the fuck alone sometimes. And I think a conversation needs to be had with your wife or your partner. And if you guys are doing this together, where you kind of go, hey, you know what? I need some time alone. Mm-hmm. I just do. And look, it's real. I mean, like,
no, I'm laughing. I'm only laughing because I don't have that, because I'm you know, still dealing with the public, still working, and I'm gone for 8 hours. So when you say that, I'm like sitting there going like, I don't know what that, I mean, I do know what that feels like on my days off or whatever, but I know where you are right now. I've been there. So that's why I'm laughing.
Well, I don't mean alone. Like I just mean away from the children. I think.
No, I totally know that.
Let me be more specific.
Let me be.
These three little assholes I made, I don't want to hang out with them. So, but I think that there's, what do you think? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that's perfectly rational. I think it's perfectly normal. And I don't think we should feel bad about it. And I think we should, like anything else, it's in moderation.
I don't think you should feel bad about telling your 7-year-old son, get your own knife, cut your own damn apple. Daddy's taking time out.
It's a minute.
There's nothing wrong with that, right?
if you give me something sharp right now, I don't know what's going to happen. But I do think there's a case to be made for you to have some alone time, and I think there's a case to be made, obviously, for your spouse to have some alone time, and I think you both need to make that happen for each other. So if that means that your kids go on a walk that day with your spouse, and you sit at home and you just listen to the fucking peace and quiet, that's magnificent.
And I've done, like, even if you know, because I live in a place where it's snowing and it's like 20 degrees outside, even if you can take them to a different room, play a board game, do drawing, and let your significant other or your spouse or whatever go to a different room and just put on music or read a book or watch a movie or whatever they need to do to decompress and get that separation from all the chaos from being cooped up for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or however long we're going to be cooped up, that is also invaluable, just to even get separation in a different room.
Oh yeah, 100%. So I said, I don't think there's a damn thing wrong with it. I think it's completely reasonable, and I think you should make it happen for each other. And I think you guys will be better off for it. And And I would caution one more thing as a dad with the kids, don't let them get in the habit of opting out. I think that we're in a spot, especially if you have kids who are 11, 12, 13, 14, they're in that danger zone where this is a really tricky spot for them. This is a really dangerous time for them in general. And now with all of their normal activities cut off. So, I mean, like, I don't know about you guys, but when you have kids that are a little bit older, you have to put the bumpers up when they're bowling. You have to put the guardrails up for their lives so that they don't get too much free time to get themselves into trouble. That's my personal philosophy. I know we've talked about that before. So all that's gone. So now you need to make sure that when you have family activities, you don't let the 12 or 13-year-old just dip out of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they're going to want to. They want nothing to do with you. All they want to do is jump on their phone and FaceTime with their friends and TikTok away the universe. And you can't allow them to do it. They're going to get mad. You're going to get pushback. You're going to get all the bullshit. Don't allow them to do it.
And what I also found, because Brady is now like, he's 11. He's 11, almost 11 and a half.
Right.
And his tablet is everything to him. But he's pretty good about like putting it down and coming down. But when he is away and we're like, all right, well, he's up to doing his thing and we do things and we don't include him, there's also that blowback from that too. And then it's one of those things where like, well, we would have asked you, but the last two times we asked you, you said no. So we just didn't ask you. And when you don't ask him or when they're distancing themselves, they also get pissed off that you're trying not to include them. They feel left out. So it's like you said, it's a tricky balance act that you're going to probably get wrong a lot, but I don't know. It's you're right. It's 100%.
Well, the age that the at that age, they don't really know what they want. Mm-hmm. And what they tell you they want isn't necessarily what they want because they don't fucking know.
No. Yeah.
So they're going to say, I don't want to participate. I don't want to go on your fucking walk. I don't want to go down to the store. I don't want to go and do this hike. I don't want to come down and bake. I don't want to help with dinner. I don't want to. But if you don't make them, they're going to be pissed off that they didn't. And you can't, right now there's a temptation, I think, to leave them alone in their rooms. Just let them fuck off. Don't give into that. Focus them, keep them in the family, keep them doing all the things. And once they're in it, they're like the little kids. Once they're in it, they're like, oh yeah, this is fun. This doesn't suck. Mm-hmm. So true. That's my advice. Don't give into that. Keep the 4-year-olds and the younger kids, 2, 3, 4, keep them just jazzed, man. Everything's freaking exciting.
Yeah, I know it's tough and it can get monotonous and you can get exhausted from like always trying to come up with new things, but it is, in my opinion, it is invaluable to not get lazy. You can't get lazy and just kick them to the Xbox for 6 hours or kick them to, you know, their tablets or just let them sit and watch TV all day. You have to get them up and moving and engaged in something. God knows it's not going to be all day, but if you can just give them that break in between watching 4 Marvel movies or playing Fortnite for 10 hours, I feel like it makes them less ornery because they're not cooped up in one spot. Because when they come downstairs sometimes from playing Fortnite for 3 hours, they're angry. They're restless. They want to do something. And then when you suggest stuff, they're like, no, I don't want to do that. But I feel like if you kind of force the issue, but not in like a, you know, overbearing way, you just kind of say, hey, we're doing this, we're going to do this. And they drag their ass to do it. But then when they get there and they do whatever you're doing, like drawing, playing board games, taking a walk, riding their bike outside, playing basketball, if you have a hoop in your front yard, which we do, anything just kind of get their blood flowing and get some of that energy out. Because when they're cooped up, God knows I have 3 boys, they fight all fucking day. And you seriously want to just choke the life out of them because everything is a fight. It's incredible. And it's probably the same with girls too. They just get too cooped up. They got all this energy and that bubble bursts and then it's just utter chaos and you can't pull them back.
Well, I think my kids specifically, cause they're like very spread apart. It's a little bit different, but you said something that I think is fucking phenomenal. And I think we'll end on that. Don't give them a choice.
Yeah.
The time of like, hey, what do you think? You know, a little, whatever. No, this is not the time for that. Do you want to do blah, blah, blah? No. Hey, we're doing blah, blah, blah. We're doing blah, blah, blah. And then after blah, 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 we're doing blingy ding. Hey, we got some face paint coming in.
I love blingy ding.
Dude, blingy ding kills it. But that's my recommendation. I don't like to give them choice at this point because choice gives them the illusion that this is up to them. It's not. It's up to us. So So my opinion, you tell them, hey, this is what we're going to do. And after that, we're going to do this and it's going to be awesome. And in the meantime, go wash your hands and we'll come back over here.
Wash your hands. Please wipe your ass.
That's it.
I have boys. It's a struggle, man.
That's it.
Did you flush? Did you wipe your ass? Did you wash your hands?
Oh, and then they lie. Like, I did. You did not. I can see the shit on your hands.
Well, I mean, you can test the toothbrushing, but I'm not testing the ass wiping. You can smell the breath. I'm not smelling the ass. No, it's not happening.
You're on your own, kid.
You're on your own, kid. I trust you.
All right. Well, hopefully we gave you guys some good ideas. Hopefully it was a worthwhile way to spend your time. If not, you got plenty of it. So there you go.
You got plenty of time. Be safe, people.
All right. We'll talk to you guys soon.